Now, our first guest today has written a book which incorporates lessons learned over a quarter of a century of managing, renewing and caring for the gardens of the National Trust. To tell us about his book, Shades of Green, My Life as the National Trust's Head of Gardens, welcome to the show, John Sales. Thanks for joining us, John.
Hello. Now, nice to you.
Nice to have you on the show. A quarter of a century, you must have seen lots of changes over that time.
Yes, yes. The job of the Trust is to keep up with those changes, I suppose, really. The huge change occurred. All those National Trust gardens, the National Trust owned about 200 or so altogether now, and they were acquired. They were all private gardens, of course, originally. And the Trust has taken on their ownership and undertook to preserve them forever, which is quite an undertaking.
I'm sure it is. It's a very big job. Presumably you had gardeners under you. You couldn't do them all yourself.
No, absolutely not. No, the Trust is organised into regions, and my job was to advise individual regions and gardeners over a long period of time with my colleagues to conserve those gardens forever, and that's difficult, more difficult with gardens than it is with buildings, because buildings, once you've repaired them, well, they deteriorate, but they can be repaired again. With gardens, it's a matter of because they keep changing and they keep altering all the time, so you've got to have a system, a philosophy, and a workable system that retains the main character of those gardens.
Yeah, because they're all quite intricate designs, aren't they?
They're all different in a huge number of ways, and the main thing is that they do reflect the people that made them. The gardens, more than anything, reflect the owners and the designers, of course. But in England, it's in Britain generally, it's very much the owners. The landscape architect, oh, they weren't called landscape, but the designers were very much under the thumb of the owner, of course. You know, the British have a strange attitude towards professionals. They don't really trust them, do they? and so they always take them on. And then, if you look at the history of these gardens, they may well have an original plan. But it gets altered, of course, because people do what they like.
Yeah, I was reading, actually, that even Capability Brown rarely drew his own plans.
Yes, yes. It's perfectly true. I mean, nowadays people make plans of gardens before they create them, very often, not always. But tends to be the way because of cost and all that sort of thing. You need to know what you're doing if you're putting it out to contract. But in those days, they just sort of happened, really. They were done very often on the ground, and even Capability Brown would go and stake out the property first, with even placing the trees, and then get somebody else to draw the plans afterwards.
Wow.
Which is the best way, really.
Yes.
Because, in fact, very often, if you're working in the business, you get the designer's plans, and you actually find that they don't quite work, so you adjust them even at the planting time. And then, of course, as soon as they're in, you get accidents and changes, and the weather affects things. Everything changes, so you learn as you go along, and it becomes a process. And that is the point about gardens, that they are process as much as anything. They're not simply objects to be admired.
And do you have a favourite, John?
Well, that's changed over the years. And let me give you a straight answer to that, but I will in the end. But the point about favourite gardens is that if you go to a garden, you get an initial impression which you may or may not like. If you go back and back and back, you learn more and more and more about it. And the more you learn about it, the more you enjoy it, as I feel. And so that I don't ever really have a favourite garden, but my my loves in gardening change and continue to change over the years. So it's what you initially get out of the garden, and then later when you become familiar with the garden, you understand more of its qualities.
Yes.
And the quality of garden, the qualities involved in gardens are a vast range. You know, and that is the key, really, to conserving them, to caring for them for the future. You've got to identify what the qualities are, what the values are of the people who made them. So it really is a more of a philosophical thing than... sorry if I'm boring you, probably.
No, not at all. It's fascinating.
But that is the approach.
Back in 1971, I mean, obviously since then you've gained a lot of experience, but you must have had to have some training or qualifications to get that job.
Yes, I did. I mean, I was trained in the usual kind of way, I suppose. But I went to Kew as a student there, and I learnt a lot there. And then I became a lecturer in horticulture, and I learnt even more there. And then I went to the National Trust. But to be honest, the whole philosophy and practice of garden conservation was in a very early stage when I joined the Trust.
Mm.
Nobody had thought it through. Nobody had owned, the first, when I first went, it was around about 80 gardens. But no organisation had ever owned as many gardens in the world at that stage.
Yeah.
And the Trust really had to learn how to care for them.
Yes, of course.
So but to go back to your question, I think the garden that I think was, which I loved from the moment I went into it, and I've gone back and back and back over the years, and I've gained more and more from it, so it's both ends of it have been right, is Stourhead. I've never visited Stourhead without coming away with a real lift in my spirits.
Oh, that's
and
fun.
That is my definition of a great work of art.
And I suppose everybody's idea of paradise is different. It's like a wine, isn't it? You either like it or you don't. I mean, I was looking at Broughton Grange, and it's not perfectly coiffured. It's a real pick and mix of different areas, but it's great. I like Broughton Grange.
Yes, quite. And everybody has their own views, and you can't expect to like every garden. That's the point. People used to write to me very often, I don't like that garden. I wrote back to them usually and said, well, look, go somewhere else then.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the obvious thing to do. It's the same with pieces of music, isn't it?
Or
pictures or works of art generally. You know, you can't expect to like everything.
No, and everybody's different.
And everybody's different.
Are you still doing it, John? Have you retired now?
Well, I've pretty well retired. After I retired from the National Trust, which was the turn of the century, really, I never looked for work, but I get offered all sorts of lovely jobs, actually, including Chatsworth, where I was most wonderful places I ever worked.
Mm.
And, so I advise there.
That's in my neck of the woods. That's in Derbyshire, isn't it?
Yes, is it? Yeah, yes. You come from that way.
I do, yes.
It's a real gritty part of the world.
Beautiful.
Isn't it? Yeah, great place. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And lots of other places I've worked in as well. But, you know, I'm nearly 85 now, but I've got a big garden, and I, quite honestly, I'd much rather do my own garden. Than
yes, of course, you can see it every day.
To worry about somebody else's.
Yes, I understand.
I've done enough of that.
Yeah, quite right, too. Well, it's a beautiful book. I have a copy here. Beautiful pictures in there. It's called Shades of Green, My Life as the National Trust's Head of Gardens. It's by John Sales, who we're speaking to now. And I believe it came out, John, at the beginning of this month, the 1st of March.
Yes, that's right. Yes, the launches are still on the card. So there's one at the Garden History Museum in Lambeth. That's one on the 21st. So I think you could probably squeeze in there if you wanted to go. There's also another launch at in Cirencester, that's at the Sundial Theatre at the Sixth Form College.
Excellent. And you can buy the book from our website. We've got a link on our TRE bookshop on TRE.radio, so people can buy it there. But for now, John Sales, thank you so much for sharing your beautiful history with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much indeed for asking me.
Bye-bye now. Bye.